There we are. Okay. Well, Larry, my goodness, I should have asked if you want to do about 10 teachings.
Well, I'm so I know I was going fast, but I wanted to, just like you do, Mark, I want to get it all in, so. And I left some things I didn't want to spend more time on, so, but I think I said enough.
We can comment on a few things here, and we'll have a big time doing it. We could take all afternoon. You opened up a lot of word, but one little thing kind of hit me, and I'll just take that one little piece. It's in Revelation, chapter. Here we are. It's in chapter 6. Okay, and of course, we understand when the stars fall, we're talking about people. The sun, we're talking about the Father, the Word of the God, not bringing forth the moon being darkened. We're talking about the church, but here we are in chapter 6. This one little verse here: the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men. And then we go on to bondmen and free and all that, hiding in the dens and the rocks, and saying to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him which sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Well, we've come to a day when I was maybe when I was a kid or when my parents were born, there were a few millionaires around. There were the Vanderbilts and the Rockefellers and some of these big names, people that owned all the railroads, and there were a few millionaires.
Thank
Well,
you, Mother.
now it seems that the world is full of billionaires, people becoming mighty rich. And I was listening to the news on the local station, and the host had somebody come in from California, and he was talking about this Super Bowl, and I believe it's today that the big Super Bowl is coming. And he said, well, how much are the tickets going for? And the man said, well, it seems the common price is $1,000. Can you believe it? And then he said, but some of them are selling for $10,000.
That's correct.
You heard that too, Larry?
Well, no, I didn't hear that, but I know the way it works out in the world system. There will always be corrupt people, and they will purchase a ticket for $1,000, and then they will go online and say, I have tickets so and so, and I'll put them up for bid. And they'll get all kinds of offers, probably up to $10,000, because nothing is too good or satisfies the lust of the flesh. Whatever they want, they have to have, and they will pay big money for it. That's just the corruption of the world.
Well, then this man from California, he asked him, well, what about hotels? And he said, I would have to pay $1,500 to stay in a hotel. Yeah, Lee's raising his eyes. Can you imagine? Now, this is what God is going to bring to an end. All this filthy, rich spending, anything you want. And we're not just talking about a game. We're talking about a God. This has become a god. When a man will sacrifice $10,000 for his god in order for the privilege of being there, brethren, this filthy rich culture that everybody has to be rich, it's come to be the average laborer. He's going to try to make $100,000 a year. Come on, this has never been heard of before. This is a god that has to be brought down. And I tell you, there is going to be screaming and crying and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And the brightness and the glory of God is going to drive this thing right into the holes of the earth. Well, amen. That's just one little thing. I mean, Brother Mike, I'm sure you've got 100 things to say. Whoever.
Mike, be merciful.
I just have one little thing to comment on, and then Kevin wants
Going to
to
be
ask.
easy on you, Larry. Just one thing.
And then Kevin has some questions, I guess.
I probably have to ask Mark.
But what I was going to say was, I just wanted to give confirmation to what Larry had to say about the number 144,000. Here's what that number has always meant to me. The number 12 stands for divine government. And so we're to have divine government in our own personal lives, right? We want to be governed by the mind of Christ. And everybody knows we don't have divine government in this earth right now for sure. So anyway, 12 times 12 is divine government times corporate divine government, which refers to a body rather than just an individual. So we've got 144, and then we've got 000. And we just talked the other day about the number zero is the number of Christ. And there's two explanations for that. One of them is zero is the number with no beginning and no end. You don't pick your pencil up and put it back down. It's a continuous, it's no beginning and no end. And we know who the one is that has no beginning and no end. And we know that the number three, or I should say three in general, stands for fullness or completion. And that's because everything God does in he does in threes, so that's completeness. So to me, 12 times 12 is the corporate government of God that has the fullness of Christ, 000. And the main point I want to make about it is so many people get hung up on who are the two witness company? Is it going to be Elijah and Moses or John or whatever? And all these terms are represent the same thing, okay? The sons of God, the first fruit company, the 144,000, Gideon's company, the two witnesses, you know. All those things in scripture refer to this one thing, which is the body of Christ, the group of people that have the fullness of Christ in their lives coming together to form a body. So I just want to say, don't be fooled by all these different things it's called. It's all the same thing. It's the group we want to be a part of, the group that loves their God and serves their God and has the fullness of Christ in their own life and in the life of this body. So that's all I wanted to say. And now I guess Kevin has a couple questions that maybe somebody could answer.
Maybe Mark, maybe.
Well, just ask it and let whoever.
Okay. Mark, maybe I should ask you. You might know pretty good. Like when Larry was sharing, the rocks fall on, they cried out to the rocks, fall on us. The rocks can't talk, so why would they say something to the rocks?
They wanted a place to hide, Kevin.
Yeah.
They just wanted to get in and try to be insulated
Well,
from the power of the glory of God. I mean, the glory of God is going to cover the whole earth. And
yeah.
these are people who do not want to give up their wickedness. They do
No.
not to want to give up their gods, their money, their power, they're going to have to give it up. And anything that could keep them and hide them from the power of the glory of God, they would go for.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That pretty much told me. So they're trying to make that happen to get away. But here's another one. I'm wondering about the let me think here. The wormwood. Okay, wormwood. Larry was talking about wormwood. Is there more than one level? Because I noticed in one of your books, wormwood is someone preaching and it's contaminated. I mean, it doesn't say contaminated, but it's got other stuff in it. The preacher, to maybe one of these mega churches, they're preaching stuff and they're not following it very good. Is that a different type of wormwood than just bitter water, or is that just
Well,
the level?
the things that Larry read are mostly spiritual things. They're not just natural. When he was talking about the trees and the grass,
Yeah.
he's talking about people that have life. You know, the trees are the strong Christians. The grass are the weak Christians. So it's symbolic. The water is the word of God. It's supposed to be the word. But when that word becomes corrupted, it's so bitter that who's going to get any life out of it anymore? You know,
Oh, okay.
and there are preachers that are polluting the water, making bitter water. They're not bringing the truth anymore. By the way, a very interesting thing that when we were in Ukraine, they told us the meaning in their language. When they see wormwood, that name is Chernobyl.
Oh, wow.
In their language, in their Bible, it says that the water became Chernobyl. Interesting, isn't it?
Very. I got one more. This is okay. I was reading that book. It's a thicker book you sent to me a long time ago. I've read that through a few times. I'm not a very good reader, so I had to. You mentioned in there, I wonder what, did you say something like, I wonder what will happen if the Lord comes back at Christmas time? I'm wondering what will happen to the people if he does come back to those who are celebrating Christmas? Or do you know what will happen to them?
I don't remember saying anything like that.
It's in the book. I mean, in the
All right, if you say it was there. Well, still, it's a good question because they're worshiping another Jesus.
okay. All right.
They're not worshiping the true Lord and Christ, the King of the Earth. They're worshiping a baby. They're worshiping an idol. They're worshiping a tradition that's come all the way from Babylon.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So they must be the outer court church then.
Well, yes, of course.
Okay.
Sons of God should have moved down beyond that by now.
Yeah, I hear that. I don't celebrate that either. Praise God, that you answered all the questions I had. I appreciate that. Thank
Okay,
you.
let me get back in a minute.
Oh.
All right. Well, somebody else has comments.
One more little comment, and then I'll yield. I just want to say something about the sweetness in the mouth and the bitterness in the belly. You know, almost everybody that claims to be a Christian, you know, saying you're a Christian is one thing, and really following God is another thing. And, you know, I kind of have a picture in my mind when I think about that. It's like when the children of God were coming back into the promised land, let's say Joshua draws a line in the sand and says, "All right, who's on God's side?" Every last one of them would step over that line. And then they go up to the top of the mountain and they look down into the valley, and there's these giants down there sharpening their swords and practicing swinging them and stuff. And he draws another line and says, "Okay, boys, we got to go down there. Who's on the side of God?" Most of them wouldn't cross the line then. And that's what it's like, you know. God is sweet in our mouth, but to follow God is a hard thing, you know. And Jesus even said, "Taste and see that I am good." If we would just but see how good God was, it wouldn't be a hard thing anymore. But to the average person, saying you're a Christian and being a Christian are two different things. Amen. That's it from me.
Is God. Sometimes I think it is something intrinsic in the life of a child of God, you know, to have certain ideas. But those ideas are like they don't come alive until when a word comes from the body, and as we are gathered, for example. Why am I saying this? There were two statements that Brother Larry mentioned, and it ignited, you know, it's like an understanding was ignited in me, which of course is not new. He said that the deception that we see in the body of Christ has always been, it runs through the life of the believer from old up till now. And also the killing of the brethren, we are talking about those that were martyred, crying and asking God, "How long will you not avenge us?" So he is also saying that this killing that we experience now has been running in the lives of believers from beginning. And when he said it, it really went down well with me. And what does it mean? You know, it's part of what God says, that when we see certain things, we should not be afraid. We should not be afraid. For me to accept Christ, I should also accept everything that comes with this acceptance. So it made a big mark in my heart that the life I have chosen, there are things that come with it. So my life should be very mindful of that and not think that they are new. Not think that they are new. The killing of Christians and the deception that is in the world. Now, if you look at it, you can see that Muslims are not preaching their message. is the Bible they preach now? And what type of gospel do they preach? Corrupted Bible. And they are saying that Jesus is only a prophet, not God. And many other things. And they say, also claim that they know Jesus more than Christians. And so the deception is now taking a new dimension. And recently I also read a lady, no, I listened, it was a video, a lady confessing that she was part of a group that printed 1 million copies of the Bible, corrupted version of the Bible. So deception has gone a step further. But of course, it has been the life that, you know, follows the believer. So we should know and be sure that we are not deceived at any point in time. Then the killing, you know what is happening in Nigeria. It may be new in Nigeria, but I should also know that as a believer, killing others, killing Christians, should not be new to me. I should be familiar with it in my mind and have my peace when I hear that Christians have been slaughtered somewhere in social number, that should not shake my faith. Praise God. That these two really touched me, so I decided to bring them up. Amen.
Well, the Lord told some of the saints that were there at the golden altar, they cried out, you know, how long? And he said, gave them white robes and said to be patient until the rest of their brethren should be killed.
Good.
So in other words, he was saying the killing is not done yet.
Mm.
It's going to go on for a while.
It also says to me that someone who is saying how long, is somewhat complaining. And I believe that God sees it as negative, because what we really need to be concerned about is our life with Christ. Am I in the right place with him? And am I ready for him to come whenever it is? That's what we should be thinking about, instead of how long. That's almost like somebody issuing a complaint.
That's true.
Amen.
Although I have to say it's an understandable complaint.
Well, I don't know that it's really a complaint. I believe it's just a prayer. You know, thy kingdom come. Lord, when is it going to come? It seems that every prophet and every writer from way back was longing for this day.
It's a cry of anguish.
A cry of anguish, yes, to the Lord. Lord, we're looking for that. Is it going to come in my time?
Yeah.
You know, I'm even asking, Lord, here I am, I'm getting older. Lord, I'm asking, can I be here during this great and terrible day of the Lord? I want to be part of this army on earth.
I want to be part of it.
I want to be part of it, Lord. Am I going to be? How long?
Amen.
Well, it looks like we've come to the close of our meeting. And again, I want to say to Brother Lee, so good to have you with us. You're welcome anytime you don't have a meeting of your own there and can come on. And please do keep us as a group, keep us up on how God is working for you. Because our prayers, we want to always be reminded, we're not going to quit until we see the hand of God for you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Mark, brethren, as well. Thank you so much. It is indeed a blessing to have been, to have joined you this morning. Thank you so much for your prayers. Like I mentioned earlier, sometimes people look at me and say, why are you always happy? It's because I have the Lord with me. So no matter what comes, I have faith that he will keep me up. So,
amen.
Praise the Lord. And it is indeed a pleasure to be, it is a blessing to be with you, Brother Mark, as well, to see you. I haven't seen you in person for quite some time. So God bless you, and God bless everyone as well, wherever in the world everybody is. I pray the Lord is with you every moment of the day.
Amen. Well, let us say goodbye then. And thank you, Larry, for good word. And we're just going to say our goodbye for today then.
Bye, brethren. God bless you.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless you. God bless you.
Amen.